Hey, folks, I'm Craig Lipinski.
I'm Seth Castellum.
And I'm Chris Dunn.
And this is episode 120 of the TV and Less Video Game Podcast, available at tvandless.net. Today, we do have a guest, and for those of you who have listened to the podcast for some time, I'm sure you all know Azam. Azam has commented on a number of episodes. If you're just tuning in for the first time, which is weird, it's always weird to think like episode 120 could be the first episode for someone. Azam has been a longtime listener of the show and is probably almost as well known as we are, you guys think?
probably.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah. So, Azam, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Azam, I want to clear something up. How old are you?
15.
So I got to ask you a question now, and I hate to put you on the spot, but before you've told me things like you're an army doctor or like you work in the video game industry. Now I know kids say stupid things, so I'm not going to hold it against you. But what was up with that?
Pranks.
Okay, fair enough.
I was going to say you're very accomplished for your age.
Like fucking Doogie Howser, dude.
It's fantastic. So Zom, what kind of games do you like to play?
Pretty much everything. Platformers, first-person shooters, RPGs, everything.
Cool.
Puzzle games.
Yep, that sounds a little bit like us. Is there anything you want to tell us about yourself?
No.
I'm fucking Azam. What do you need to know? All right. So, for me, you know, lately I have been going through my DVD and my CD collection, and I'm just trading in, like, the vast majority of these things to Amazon. With the CDs, it's really a no-brainer. It's really time-consuming, because I have hundreds of CDs. And you only get, like, if they accept it, you get, like, 20 cents for them. Which, let's be honest, is probably more than it's worth anyway. So, 20 cents, fine. For a little bit of work, fine.
Craig, are you deactivating your ripped copies that you have on your computer
yeah,
once
right.
you trade them in?
The Microsoft overlords are watching.
I was going to say, that's worse than GameStop.
I have to turn them into the service and let them be deactivated in the cloud or something. I'm keeping a few physical ones for, like, and this sounds ridiculous, but sentimental purposes. Like, you know, some people know I was a huge fan of 311 growing up. You can laugh at me. It's fine. I don't care. But I am going to...
I'm all laughed out.
That's fine. I am hanging on to those. Not so much a fan these days, but, you know, that was a big part of growing up for me, I guess. Most of the CDs, I mean, I don't really care. For a while there, I was really clinging to physical media. I'm like, oh, I love it. They look great on the shelves. I mean, it looks impressive, right? But who fucking cares, right? They've been laying underneath my bed for the past, like, 4 years. So I'm just getting rid of those. The movies was a little bit of a harder decision. Because, you know, basically all of my movie collection is still physical. But, I mean, I looked at it, I'm like, a lot of these I don't watch, and I will never watch again, so it's really not that hard. But some of these, like, are just, you know, you walk into my apartment, like, wow, damn, that's a movie collection. But who am I trying to impress? What do I care? So I'm actually getting rid of most of those. I still have to get more boxes. That's the only hard part of this. Because Amazon gives you, like, the shipping label. They take care of everything, which is why, like, some of these things are only worth, like, 20, 30 cents. They basically pay for everything. But the boxes, that's the hardest part.
How much do you get on average for a DVD?
If it's in, like, used condition, like, I mean, like, you're talking, like, 30 cents. So, I mean, this is only really good if you're trading in bulk, which is what I'm doing. I mean, I think it's like 60-something, like, movies, and, I don't know, something like somewhere between 30 and 40 seasons worth of TV show material. And that's gotten me, like, I haven't mailed it out yet, so they have to approve it, but their estimation, I'm going to get something like $180 for all that.
Uh-huh.
Which is, like I said, it's a drop in the bucket compared to, like, the thousands, like, literally thousands, what all this stuff cost initially. But, you know, it's just sitting there collecting dust. And I can put
I have a ton of DVDs I need to get rid of, so maybe I'll do
this. How old are some of these?
Some of them are pretty old. Like, some of them, like when I say I'm not going to watch them again, like, I'm not kidding. Like, some of them, like, I had an Adam Sandler phase, like, growing up. And when I was younger, if I wanted to watch something, I would just buy it. I mean, Netflix really wasn't a thing when I was a teenager. So, you know, I have, like, Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore. And those were great when I was a kid, but I don't watch them now. I don't care. They can go.
Mm.
Like I said, I did hang on to a few movies. I hung on to, like, my Studio Ghibli movies and some... I hung on to Christmas movies. Like, I like having Christmas movies. Maybe I'm a loser like that, but I hung on to my Christmas movies. You know, my Wes Anderson movies. You know, nothing major, but it's extremely pared down. I still have to go through my CDs, and I'm hoping if I can get, like, anywhere from $50 to $100 for my CDs... $100 might be stretching it, but $50 is probably pretty realistic. That would put me somewhere in the area of, like, over $200 for all this stuff. And I could put that towards, you know, some of these games I want to get that are coming out this summer, and I'll be happy with that. That's fine with me. And it clears up some space here, so...
Yeah, I mean, 30 cents a piece is not much, but, I mean, having $200 versus having a bunch of stuff stuffed under your bed is certainly an improvement in my book.
Especially with the CDs, and... You know, Emma can use that space underneath the bed. Like, that's...
You can make her sleep under the bed?
She'll like it. Mm-hmm. And I also saw Star Trek Into Darkness. You saw this too, right, Chris?
I did.
Did you, Seth or Azam, did you guys see this?
I watched the new Fast and Furious game movie.
What's that?
I watched the new Fast and Furious movie.
Oh, you did? Well, I didn't see that, but...
I haven't seen that either.
No, I think I've seen the first one. That was about it, but... yeah, it's our Star Trek. I liked it. I think the 2009 movie, the first one for this reboot, was much better. But I think, like, sort of, like, origin stories... I mean, that's not really an origin story, but, you know, like, the first entry can have a lot more downbeats in it, so it was paced a lot better. This one was just wall-to-wall action. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, we had him talking for 30 seconds. Better make something explode. And...
Yeah, I feel like a lot of this, they tried to just put in, you know, that stuff you'd see in a summer movie. Like, there's a random scene with one of the female characters in her underwear that just seemed thrown in there because it's a summer movie. That's what people want to see, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it seemed totally unnecessary.
Actually, yeah, they got hit pretty hard. They were criticized for that.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly don't have any problem with seeing a girl in her underwear. It just seemed totally unnecessary.
Yep. Yep. So. It was a very blatant, like, clear, like, here I am in my underwear kind of shot.
Yeah, exactly.
It always seems weird that they've made, like, the Star Trek movies, action movies, like, even before, you know, the J.J. Abrams reboots.
Right. Because the show's nothing like that.
The show is not, like, action heavy at all.
No. And I'm fine with the movies being action-heavy. Like, that's fine. Like, I mean, I sort of feel like that's what a movie needs to be. So, I, even being someone who enjoys Star Trek, I wouldn't go so far as to call myself a Trekkie. I'm not that into it, but I do like it. You know, I enjoyed the 2009 movie for what it was. Like, I think it was action-packed. It was a little more modern, you know, take on the franchise. But I think it played to those... To the action and the downbeats pretty well. This one really didn't. I mean, I still enjoyed it, don't get me wrong, but there was a lot of action. And it only became tiresome near the end when you think the movie's over and then they start fist fighting on top of, like, cars.
They do, yeah. The ending seemed a little stretched out.
But... Yeah, and that's when I went, okay, this is enough action for me.
How many lens flares were there in the first... 10 minutes.
There was, you know what I noticed? Because I watched it in 3D. There was a lot of, like, shafts of light and rainbow beams and stuff. Like, I don't know if you picked up on that, Chris.
Yeah, I noticed that,
but there was
too.
A lot of, like, just light. And, yeah, no, it was very strange. I definitely picked up on that. But it was funny. Hmm. The action was mostly pretty good. I think it got a little long in the tooth by the end of the movie. But, you know, overall, I liked it. It could have been better, but I liked it.
So what's worse, the movie or the game?
I haven't played the game. The game does look pretty bad, though, so I would have to go with the game. The movie's at least enjoyable, you know, as far as a summer action movie can go. If you're not looking for if you're looking for decent mindless action as opposed to, like, high art, you're going to be okay.
I played the game.
You played the game. Oh, I'm sorry.
I played it at a friend's house.
You know what he's trying to cover up. I didn't buy it or nothing, guys. I just paid my friend's house. I didn't spend money on this.
Is that published by Activision?
I don't know who made that. Who did publish that?
Star Trek.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're all looking it up. Who can go the fastest?
Namco Bandai.
That's a weird.
That seems really weird. Yeah, no.
I wouldn't have thought that. Wow, look at this. Azam comes up with that like in like 2 seconds. We're all sitting there still type. Go 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 go. He's already.
I have 16 windows open.
Jesus Christ. He's already pulling his weight. I like it. But yeah, that's just what I'm selling crap and going to see Star Trek. It's been pretty good. What about you, Chris? What have you been up to?
I haven't been up to much. Jackie was out of town this week because of the senior trip at her school. So I've been home alone most of the week. I started watching Game of Thrones because I have HBO, and I've never seen it before. I got HBO with AT&T because they had like a free 3 months, and the 3 months ended this week, and that's when I decided to start watching it. So that was good planning on my part.
Right, Brian.
I've just been hanging out, you know, watching TV, playing games.
How much order out pizza have you bought since?
I only ordered pizza one day.
Really?
Granted, the other days I still did take out from various other places. Only pizza was only one day. So.
All right.
Are you going to sign up for HBO? Are you actually going to pay for that?
I'm going to stick with it at least for this month. I mean, I figure I can get through the first three seasons of Game of Thrones for the month, and
yeah.
We'll see after that because I think the finale is coming up pretty soon anyway. So,
but what are you going to do with the other 2.5 weeks of the month?
I don't know.
Well, you can watch other. I mean, there's other. I like Girls. I like Real Time with Bill Maher. Actually, I don't watch. I watch almost no TV. I don't channel surf. I don't really leave it on in the background. So if I'm watching TV, I'm intentionally watching something. And basically, all I watch is HBO and AMC.
Mm-hmm.
I like Mad Men. I like Breaking Bad. Unfortunately, the latter is ending. But yeah, no, I watch a number of HBO shows, and I like it. You know, I figured I didn't have cable till Emma moved in. I didn't want it, and she did, so I was like, fine, whatever. But if I'm getting it, I'm going to throw HBO on there. And
I only watch two things a year.
Two things a year? What do you watch? Like the Super Bowl and like some other shit?
E3 and CES.
What was that?
E3 and CES.
That's all he watches. And you can stream stuff like that now, too.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about this a little bit when we talk about the Xbox One, but that's the sort of thing that makes me feel like Microsoft is totally betting on the wrong horse. To me, like, Microsoft betting on people using their cable TV in the same way, like, 5 years from now, is almost like Nintendo betting on standard definition with the Wii.
I agree.
Yeah.
They are betting on the wrong horse, but we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
How you been doing, Seth?
How do you stand looking at Bill Maher's face? I can't stand the way he looks.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
There's just
nice Skype picture, Seth.
He's, I mean, I'm not really trying. I don't know. I don't really find him. I'm not really. I don't know. He's goofy looking. You know what's weird? It's like when you watch him on the show. I mean, clearly he's wearing a lot of makeup. He's got the lights on him and stuff. And then you see him in candid pictures that he posts to, like, Twitter and stuff. The motherfucker looks old as shit in, like, candid photos. And then you see him on TV. And, of course, he's older looking, but he doesn't – no. That's totally, like, makeup and lights and shit.
Yep. What have I been doing? I don't know. My grandniece had a birthday party yesterday. And she's like 3, and then like a bunch of my relatives brought alcohol. I'm like, who brings alcohol to a baby's birthday party?
Mexicans.
What is right? What is wrong with these people?
Margaritas for everyone.
It was beer and wine, Chris.
Including the baby.
Including Dos Equis. Dos Equis and Corona. Is that what happened?
That baby was messed up. No, it was it was like a luau themed thing. So
I saw the chalk drawing you did on Twitter. That was pretty good. I like that.
Ah, thank you. I have no idea what I'm doing with chalk. Chalk is hard to work with.
Chalk is because of how you're drawing. Like, I just feel like it's how you're drawing. Well, I mean, with the board, did you lay the board flat like you would like a normal piece of paper or something?
No, it was like on an easel.
So it was vertical. Yeah, that's. I hate trying to draw like on something that's on a like a vertical surface. That's a bitch.
Mm-hmm. But like just even like trying to like you can't mix colors or like draw over anything or because
it
just
you can mix colors. It's just very unique with chalk is that you can use the colors like you can if you like alternate the colors or like stipple the colors together, mm-hmm, you can trick mm-hmm. people's eyes into thinking that they're mixed when they're really not.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it's harder to work with. And then you got to erase a lot and you got to work with negative space in there since it's a dark background instead of a light background. Yeah. So, but I don't know. I was kind of happy with it. Like, I was going to do a lot more with that picture, but I was like, oh, this is already taking me forever. I'm done with this shit. what else is going on? I don't know. I don't think I'm up to anything.
We are unexciting. How about you, Azar? So, what have you been up to?
I watched the Xbox reveal. I think I turned on my PS3 once.
I want. are you pandering to us right now? Like, guys, the PS3, am I right?
Like, I think I touched my computer. I didn't do anything this week.
No, oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds like us half the time. All right, well. That
sounds like I'm me every week.
Chris. With that said, let's move on into news. Let's talk about some of these things. Today is Sunday the 26th. Peter Molyneux's new indie studio after he left, like, Lionhead, 22 Cans. Their first game is called Curiosity, What's Inside the Cube. And this was, like, a mobile phone game where it was a giant cube made of, like, just tons of layers. And you just tippy-tap away all these people. It's all networked together, so everyone, like, tapping away at the same cube. Until you get to the center. And the person who gets to the center would win this life-altering prize, this life-changing prize, according to Peter Molyneux.
I wasn't expecting it to be money.
It was. It was kind of money. This thing was genius in a couple different people. The internet's really angry about this right now, but this thing
they're jealous.
Yeah. It's genius in multiple ways, actually. Inside the cube, basically, the person who got to the center was, I think it was some dude in Scotland, he gets to create the sort of morality in 22 Cans' next game, Goddess, I don't know how to pronounce that. It's a god game. So basically he gets to be God in the next Peter Molyneux game. So basically this is genius because 22 Cans used the Curiosity Cube as guerrilla marketing for their quote-unquote real game. And, of course, they were also using it to test, like, microtransactions and server load and stuff like that, too. So, I mean, the whole thing was just a huge test for their real game.
Isn't this the one where you could pay, like, $10,000 or something for, like, a golden pickaxe?
Yeah, you could buy, like, items to, like, chip away, like, bigger pieces of the cube, yeah.
Worth it now.
yeah, right, no one thought it would. Because the person who won also gets to share in the profits of GOTUS. And this is why this is genius, because people are like, well, I don't want to play a game designed by some kid who has no idea how he's designing a game. He could just troll us all and make the game terrible. No, he's not going to want to do that, because if he's sharing in the profits, he's going to want to make sure the game is fun to play. Like, that's why, like, the profit sharing is linked to this, because he's not going to want to make a shitty game, because he's going to want to fucking make money. So, it's actually really smart all around, and people can say what they want about Peter Molyneux. I actually like the guy. I think this is actually a really good idea.
I didn't hear about this guy until I watched his live stream thing about the Xbox reveal thing on IGN.
Wait, what? You didn't hear about Peter Molyneux till then?
Yeah, he was like on IGN. He was doing like a, like before the Xbox reveal, he did like an 1 hour thing with the IGN guys and a 2 hour one after. So
about the Xbox?
Yeah, reveal.
Since when does Peter Molyneux, he doesn't even make games on Xbox anymore. Since when does he care about that?
And he was just on IGN. They want like chairs. So it's like it was like a 4 hour thing.
Oh, okay. So was he like talking about developing like Fable and stuff for like Microsoft?
No, he was just talking about what he wants from the system before the event, and he was talking about his thoughts after.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Nope, I like Peter Molyneux. A lot of what he says is he talks very big about his games, and a lot of it's obviously like advertising kind of puffery. He's trying to sell it to you, obviously, but I think a lot of it's also just sheer enthusiasm, and I like that. I like that from him.
I hate him.
What do you think about the Curiosity Cube then?
I've never even heard of it. This is you're breaking this news to me right now, Craig. I didn't even know it was a thing. It sounds. I don't know. Like, I don't even care. It just sounds like something that was done for marketing. It just sounds like
the next thing gonna be on iPhone.
I don't know what he said. I think Goddess or whatever. I don't know how to pronounce it. It looks like God Us, GODUS. But then when I say it out loud, it sounds like Goddess, as in a female god, which I don't know if that's the intention or not. So
is the game an iOS game?
I don't know. I think it's supposed to be an iOS game. I think there's like a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo campaign or something for it.
I think it's an everything game. So he's talking about like it being on PC and iOS and eventually consoles. So it could be on everything.
Well, that's good for this dude in Scotland. More revenue streams.
Is he gonna pick the amount of money he sells? The things they sell and for free-to-play games?
I think that's what it is. He's probably end up making money off, like, microtransactions. They haven't really said. I think the game's a little...
Is he going to pick the price for those?
I don't think he gets to pick the. I don't think he gets to pick the president.
That would be hilarious if he could.
Yeah, right. No, I think he just gets to determine the sort of moral relativity of the god in the game. So,
yeah.
I downloaded Curiosity back when it first came out. You know, I checked it out and I didn't find it all that interesting. But as far as a marketing campaign, I guess it worked out pretty well because I hadn't even heard about Goddess or Godus until this news came out today. So
yeah.
The game didn't work.
Must be doing something right.
Launched.
No, the game didn't work when it launched because a lot of people tried to get in on it.
Yeah,
right.
It was free.
The thing, a lot of people complain that the game was boring, and it is because you're just tapping away at shit. But I think that's the point. I think the whole point is like. How much stupid bullshit are you going to put up with to punt potentially?
Rich.
It's an experiment. It's not a game in a traditional sense. It's an experiment. How much crap are you willing to put up with for potentially something really cool?
That right. Sounds like all of Molly News games.
I remember listening to one of his keynotes this earlier this week after the event. He was talking like about what's in the cube, and he wouldn't tell anyone. He was like. Some people are hoping it's a car. Some people are hoping it's Half-Life 3.
That's absolutely a monitor. I can announce I'm going to officially reveal Half-Life 3 inside my fucking cube. Wow. Yeah, well, people like to dream big, especially gamers, so. That's great.
Some people said it's going to be the new Xbox.
That would have been a better guess. That's actually not a bad guess, but that's not really life-changing, I don't think.
It's going to be the new iPhone.
You know what? If I picked away that cube and inside was the Xbox One, I would have been severely fucking disappointed.
Like, let me put that back.
I know. Can I please just close the cube? Like, I'm sorry. I feel like Pandora in the fucking box. Like I just unleashed all the evil on the world. All right. So moving on here, Nintendo announced that their E3 Nintendo Direct is going to be on June 11th. Hopefully they give a little more extra. Usually their Nintendo Directs are about a half an hour. Hopefully this is at least an hour. They get a little breathing room because they're going to be talking about Mario, Mario Kart, Zelda. They've already said Smash Bros. They're going to be talking about everything. And so mark your calendars for that, I guess.
Retro's game's got to show up as well, right?
Is it June 11th? Do I have that date right? I feel like I have that date wrong now.
I thought it was like June 9th?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, let me double check that because I don't want to give incorrect information. I feel bad now. Yeah, it says scheduled for June 11th, which is that's a fucking Tuesday or something.
And that's the day after.
That's the first day of E3. Yeah.
E3 is in the middle of the week. Is it?
Yeah, is it usually Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
I think that's when they normally do their events on.
Yeah, they usually have theirs on the Tuesday.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about here. Ignore me. Yeah, no. So it is June 11th. I'm pretty excited for that. Should be good.
I'm worried for E3.
I hope I hope they have some footage of Bayonetta 2. I hope that whatever Retro's working on is finally unveiled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gotta be, because when's the last time they put out a game?
Donkey Kong,
yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And they contribute, too. Like, they help with...
they helped with Mario Kart, I think.
Yeah, I think they just did the Donkey Kong track in Mario Kart is what it was. Mm-hmm. And I think they might have had a hand in the Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D as well, which would make sense. So, yeah, they haven't been up to much. So, you guys have any stabs in the dark? I mean, if you want to dream big, what might Retro be doing?
I hope I'm surprised here. I don't know what they're working on.
I would love to see them, because to me, they did Metroid for so long, and they really did a great job with the Metroid Prime series. And then they did Donkey Kong Country Returns, and they did a great job with that, too. And those are two, very different kinds of games.
Mm-hmm.
And it really suggests to me that's a very capable studio. So I would like to see from them either, Star Fox, or, if we're dreaming big here, a new Star Tropics.
I was going to say Star Tropics. Actually.
So many people are, a lot of people are saying Star Tropics. I don't see it happening.
I don't either.
Doesn't but seem I would like love that it big of a franchise.
I mean, how much is this going to affect E3? That's my question. Nintendo Direct going to do anything to stop Sony and Microsoft from their potential or whatever?
Well, you know, it's well. I think E3, like, I mean, that's why, like, E3 is becoming outmoded, because it's becoming, like, this huge, like, who won E3 thing, and I think that's kind of boring. But the funny thing is, like, after the Xbox, like, One reveal, like, in the UK, the Wii U shot up the Amazon
sales. Yeah, I heard about that.
So you say that, but, and it seems sort of laughable, like, oh, Nintendo's stopping Microsoft or Sony, but it kind of already happened in a way, like.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, they didn't do anything, though.
Well, that's the thing. They didn't have to. Like, Microsoft put themselves in the foot.
I mean, really quickly, here's what I expect from E3. Microsoft's going to do something big. Sony, it feels like Sony's already played all their cards. And Nintendo is going to announce, like, they're going to show gameplay of their, like, 3D Mario and all that stuff. That's what I'm expecting, really.
Yep, and I think...
Because Sony, it's...
Go on.
It feels like Sony has already played their cards. That's my thing. It feels like they've already announced too much.
But I think that's a good thing. I think Sony's going to have surprises, particularly with the Vita. They really haven't been talking about the Vita.
What's
then
that?
Again, they never talk about the Vita, but... I think Sony's going to have some things for E3. It's really Microsoft that's sort of like... you know, of the two, that's saving everything up for E3, and...
I think people are going to be surprised by Microsoft's press conference. I really do. After they keep teasing us with their 15 games and all that stuff.
But here's the thing, they have nowhere to go but up. That's...
Yeah.
So, yeah, they might be surprised, but maybe that was their plan all along. Like, really terrible Xbox One reveal, like, then we're going to just fire out a bunch of games at E3, so...
Sounds like the worst plan.
I can't imagine that plan, Craig.
What's going to go wrong?
I'm not sure if we can start talking about the Xbox reveal now, but...
Well, I got one more bit of news here before we get into that, because that's obviously a bigger topic. I just wanted to touch on... Like, last episode we talked about this Panopticon trailer, this teaser trailer that Sony Japan had put out. It is on Vita, like I had hoped. It does also seem like a Monster Hunter clone, which I hope it would not be. The real name is Freedom Wars, which is really stupid, but probably more marketable than Panopticon. And it's described as a recovery multiplayer action game, which I know is what with Japan with these weird descriptors. Like, you ever notice, like, the Tales games always have, like, weird genres? Like, this Tales genre is, blah, like, pancakes on your head. Like, that's pancakes on your head RPG. And that's always very strange. It's called Recovery Multiplayer Action, and which combined with... We haven't seen any gameplay footage. It's just all been CG. But combined with that, with the stuff they've shown, it looks like a Monster Hunter clone, which is... The Vita is just basically like, here, you can play a bunch of Monster Hunter clones, or you can play two-year-old indie games on the go. Like, that's what this...
Or PS3 games.
Or PS3 games, yeah. Just games that are on other platforms.
Who's ready to play the Jack Collection next month?
What's that?
Who's ready to play the Jack Collection next month?
I don't know. I might get that.
That's over a year old.
The collection, that's funny, yeah. No, the games are several years old, but the collection is a year old. But, I mean, I'm interested because, I like the whole, like, I hope we get to swing around on monsters. Like, I don't
think frame rate looked terrible in the trailer.
And what, for Jack?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen the trailer for that yet. The frame rate might be terrible. Actually, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later with Ratchet and Clank.
For Jack 1, it doesn't look bad. But for the 2 and 3, it looks horrible.
Well, those are much busier games, too.
Yeah, they're open world games.
I'm still interested in seeing more from Freedom Wars, but color my excitement a little more subdued. Let's talk about the Xbox One reveal.
You mean the TV box?
The TV box. Here's what I feel like. Here's the thing. The overall vibe, right? Sony came out with their PS4. They showed a bunch of games that I don't care about. Like, I don't care about Infamous. I don't care about Killzone. I don't care about Jonathan Blow's, like, Connect the Dots in the Forest game. I don't care about none of these. But you have to give it to Sony. They had games, and they had a wide variety of games, even if I didn't care about none of them. I feel like Microsoft came out with their pants around their ankles, doing helicopter dick all over the place, and then said thank you and left. That's what that was.
Did you guys watch the Xbox reveal highlights on YouTube?
That one video that one dude did where it was just, you know,
TV, sports.
Yeah.
Call of Duty.
Yeah, there was this video someone put together of just TV, sports, and Call of Duty. That's all they talked about. I don't want to regurgitate too much from the reveal because then this podcast would be, like, way too long. But essentially, the Xbox One is this Microsoft touts it as all-in-one media device for your TV. And as I said earlier in this episode, I feel like this is betting on the wrong horse. Like, people still use their TVs a lot, but this isn't the 80s. People aren't going to finish their, you know, their family dinner around the around the table and then fucking gather around to watch the Cosby Show. It doesn't work like that anymore.
Well, here's the thing. That's going to be different with this from the 360. When they announced the 360, weren't they advertising as like a game machine first kind of thing?
Well, yeah, they did advertise as a game machine, but then they slowly started making it into what they eventually wanted Xbox One to be. No, that is true. And that's been Microsoft's game plan.
Yeah, and now they're like right out the gate. They're like, this is an entertainment machine. You watch Netflix, you do this, you do that.
Which is, I think they're viewing it as smart. I think the idea is like they want to grab as many customers as they can by trying to sell, you know, movies, TV, sports, fantasy sports, you know, music, whatever you want to do on this thing, games. We got you covered, but I feel like people are already have devices that do that. They're called their fucking computers. And
I think what Microsoft is trying to do now is that I think they knew that they were going to frustrate gamers. So I think what they did is that let's frustrate the gamers for 3 weeks, let's torture them to death, let's go focus on the people that don't game for the next 3 weeks, because we know that gamers are going to be everywhere, including E3. So E3 can focus on games, right now we can focus on people that don't really game. And like, for example, now at my school, people didn't really care about the Xbox, but I heard my teacher talking about it.
I don't know if their intention was to intentionally frustrate people, but I mean, you might have a point in that this reveal was not necessarily meant for games. Very clearly, because they were like, oh, it's a new generation. They use words like innovative, a new generation. Here's the same fucking sports cars and guns that we've been selling you all along. Anyway, that's not innovative. That's not a. We got the dog. Thing. We got the dog. That's cool.
Call of dog.
Yeah. Call of goats.
Big. Put motion capture balls on that dog.
They did put motion capture. Yeah, the new Call of Duty's got a dog.
A motion capture dog.
Motion capture dog. So the Xbox the Xbox One comes packed with Kinect. It's a multimedia device. And here's my problem. I don't mind all that stuff's there. Like, really, the 360 does a lot of this stuff already, and I never really use it. So I don't mind that it's there. It doesn't bother. It's not that I'm not going to use it anyway. It doesn't bother me that it exists. My problem is that I'm going to have to pay for all this shit that I don't want to use. So, like, the Kinect sensor, I'm paying for that. I'm never going to use that. I don't care. I don't want to sit there and talk to my Xbox. Who do they think wants to talk? Like, bored suburban housewives? Like, Xbox, play. Nobody wants to do this.
Here's the thing that I find very interesting. A lot of people are saying right now, why can't my 360 do this? Everything they showed off to me, it looks like the 360 can do. So, I mean,
well, no, hypothetically it could, but I mean, if the, obviously this was a staged demonstration, so they could have faked the shit out of everything on there. But if Kinect and the voice recognition, the Kinect motions and the voice recognition software work as well as they showed on stage, because it did work well, if it actually works like that, it's obviously improved, because Kinect doesn't work for shit. So. That's obviously improved, but I just don't know who really cares, and I have to pay. I mean, this NFL deal, that costs hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm paying for that, either packed in the console price or the price of Xbox Live. I have to pay for that, and I don't care about Sports Bowl. That's another problem. This is very Amero-centric, too.
I think the thing right now with Xbox 360 is that when it was introduced as a game console, gamers were happy, And I think what Microsoft did back then is that they were like, let's sell gamers first, and then we can focus on entertainment stuff.
And that actually did work well for them, because they got a lot of 360s out there by catering to gamers. And then it wasn't until later where they're like, here's your Kinect so you can dance around and shit, and people ate that up. No, you're right. That is true.
I think what Microsoft did this week is just proving how like cocky they're becoming.
This was very arrogant. This reveal actually reminded me of the PS3 reveal in its
exactly.
Yeah. I feel like they skipped a step on like where they ultimately want to go. Like they jumped ahead too far, too fast, in where their ultimate goal is. In taking over entertainment wise, I think the transition wasn't as smooth.
I think that's a very good point. And I wonder, like, I don't know anyone who uses the Zune Marketplace. Do you guys like buy any?
I do.
You do.
No, I don't.
Okay. Jackass. I mean, do you guys, does Chris, Seth, do you guys buy your movies or music on your Xbox?
No.
No.
I don't know anyone who does this. Why is that there?
I have occasionally, like, rented a movie on there, but now that Amazon is on there, I generally use that because, you know, sometimes I'll have a gift card or something. But generally no, because, I mean, you can do that anywhere. You know, I have an Apple TV. I can do it on there. I can do it on my PS3. I can do on-demand and watch a movie that way. So,
and that's the thing, though, because a lot more people are more invested in these other platforms. I mean, particularly like iOS, particularly like Apple, a lot of people are heavily invested in iTunes and their phone, their iPhones. To say, like, oh, we got Zoom, like, who cares? But, man, that's basically tied to my Xbox. No, yeah. I don't want that. That doesn't sound interesting to me.
Here's the thing with Microsoft that I find is always a problem. They keep talking about third-party games more than anything else. Like, right now, they at that event, they talk about sports. That's going to be on PS4. Call of Duty Ghosts, which has been confirmed for PS4.
The DLC is exclusive to Microsoft. That got thunderous applause from all the employees in the back.
So they're doing almost a favor for Sony, showing off that game.
They're showing off Sony's games. I think this is. I just don't understand this focus on entertainment.
Here's the thing. I think with Microsoft, what's going to happen is that they're going to come out talking about all this stuff. Gamers already have a bad vision from this, and they're all in PS4 now. So I think what's going to happen is that all these gamers with Xbox are going to go to PS4. And the Xbox One is going to be more of like an Apple device, where it just does everything else, and it also plays games.
No, you're right, and that's what we're saying, but I don't see who they're selling that to. People are already invested in these things on their phones, their tablets, their computers. We already have multiple devices that do what this system does, except they're like, oh, but it's tied to your TV, and you still need your cable box and your cable provider, and everyone's going, so?
Yeah, that's the weirdest part. I mean, you know, I think the Xbox 360 and, you know, I guess, you know, all these boxes in the last few years, you know, cutting the cord has become a big thing because you can use your Xbox to watch Hulu and Netflix and Amazon and what have you. You know, so now they're kind of going in the opposite direction. You know, all these people who were able to do these things on their 360, it's like, oh, come back and use your cable. And it's like, why?
Why?
That's why I had my 360, you know?
Here's the thing with the Nintendo and with the Wii. When they released the Wii, the people that bought it were hardcore gamers, this and that, and all hardcore Nintendo gamers. And then they showed it to their parents. Their parents looked at it. Oh, I can play bowling. I can do this and do that. Same thing happened with the 360. They were like, oh, look, this thing can play Halo 3, but I can also watch movies. I can do this and I can do that. That's how the Wii and the Xbox spread.
The spread was more organic, whereas with the Xbox One, they're trying to force that.
Right.
That spread, yeah. I think that's what sort of Seth was getting at when he said, like, they skipped a step somewhere. That might be that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
They should have showed off the games first, and then they should have, then, like, later throughout the year, maybe, like, a month or two before it released, they should have talked about, like, entertainment stuff.
Oh, yeah, I mean, the entertainment stuff is fine that exists. I don't know who it's selling to, but it's fine that it exists, but they're really riding hard on it, spending millions, hundreds of millions of dollars on it, and I just don't know who for.
I think you're right now. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about before, you know, I like to watch a lot of TV, you know, that's something my wife and I do together. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, even if I were going to buy this, that would be a secondary function for me. You know, like I said, I have an Apple TV. It seems like the people who would be most interested in this already have a way to do that.
Right.
You know, so I if I were to buy it, I'd be interested in the games first, and this would be a secondary function for me.
I think that's true for a lot of people. I think that's just, you know, people buy these games consoles to play games, and then the secondary features are great. And in trying to sell it on the secondary features first, this is like, I just look at it and I go, I have a computer and I have an iPhone. I already have devices that do all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
What does your device sell me on? And it doesn't sell me on anything.
But are these the secondary features, or is gaming the secondary feature?
That's a good point, because they didn't talk about games. They were like, we have 15 exclusive games for the first year, which is great that they said that, because that just sort of, like, you know, pokes at Nintendo, like, and then eight of them.
You know, Nintendo said that they had a lot of games for their launch window as well, and
they're still not out.
Yeah, they're still not out. That's a good point. Yeah, 15 exclusive games for the first year. 8 of them are brand new IPs. That's really intriguing. That's great. Are they? They show the same shit that they always, you know, they're bread and butter. That's fine. Sports, cars, guns. That's their bread and butter.
What was Remedy's?
They did have a Remedy game. I don't know. It was like weird live action. Plus. Yeah. I don't know with that.
Yeah.
Well, it's not Alan Wake 2, that's for sure.
That is true.
I think here's the thing with, like, the Xbox One. I think what's going to happen is that casual people that use their Xbox 360s are going to look at it and say, I'm not going to need this. And, like, I think what Microsoft thinks is that casual people are going to go to this, and also the people that play their Call of Duties, that play their Madden, are going to go to this. Or they think the people that play their Call of Duties and their Madden are going to go to PlayStation, and the entertainment guys are going to stay with their 360.
That might be true. I don't... The thing is, with selling to the broader audience, is not going to want to spend. I mean, let's be honest about the price of this system. Microsoft didn't talk about price, but the thing is that the price for this system is going to be. I would be surprised if it's less than $400. It might even be more because you're selling the Kinect sensor plus this console in the box. It can't be less than four.
I was going to say $500.
That's my guess.
Yeah, I'd say $400 minimum.
Did you hear how many transistors are in this thing?
Oh, man, the transistors.
The transistor wars have begun. No, I know. I look at people with Kinect, and they're happy playing the games that they have. You can't sell to this wider audience and say, like, oh, they're going to look at the Kinect and say it's the same thing. Of like, oh, well, it can measure your pulse now. They're going to be like, how does that help me with dance games? They're not going to care. Like, all this stuff seems really cool to me as, like, a nerd. I'm like, oh, those voice recognition features, that sounds really accurate. Those motion controls, that's neat. You can measure my pulse, that's great. But I don't care. I don't want it to do any of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching some of the Kinect 2.0, whatever, demonstration videos where I guess they had to bring in, like, 15 press people at once and show off the system. And it looked cool. Like, I was impressed by everything.
Technological standpoint, the nerd in me is like, oh, that's neat. But
I had like infrared. You could like turn off the lights. It had infrared. It had like light canceling. So like if you're in the dark with just one light shining on your face, it doesn't like blur you out. Like you don't even see that light at all. It's just everything comes in clear. It had a lot of like really cool things. But I'm just like, okay, what good will this do me ever?
On we got to speed this along because I am pressed for time today. So the controller looked nice.
The controversy stuff.
What?
Can we talk about the controversial stuff?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. I just wanted to touch on the controller. The controller looked nice, if nothing else. The improved controller. It looks like, I mean, I haven't felt the D-pad, obviously, but that D-pad
looks like it's not dick.
I can't imagine it's worse.
Right.
I think the thing with the controller is that it doesn't have any really innovations. Like, I don't know what that trigger thing is. Like that whole thing with the trigger analog thing.
The triggers vibrate or something. Yeah, the vibration technology is apparently advanced vibration technology.
I mean, apparently here's what I've been hearing. That let's say you're playing a Call of Duty game and you pull the trigger to your gun. That trigger is going to be harder to like pull since a gun is really hard to pull at the same time.
So it has like... It has, like, different tensions?
Variable resistance, it sounds like, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's got some pretty cool ideas, but generally it looks pretty much the same, and I'm A-okay with that. Because I do like the Xbox 360 controller, except for that dick D-pad.
I like the PS2 controller.
You would, Azam. Alright, so we're going to talk about some of this controversial stuff. We got about, let's say, about 10-15 minutes to talk about this stuff. So, the thing is, Microsoft's post-conference message was a disaster because their PR was not unified. It's like they wanted to answer some of these questions and they kind of gave like some half-assed answers, some disparate answers. Like some PR people were giving completely different answers. Sony just didn't answer none of this. They're like, yep, you can play used games. And then like zip, and that was done. And with the Xbox One, here's what it sounds like. From what we can gather from all the variable reports, your game has to install to the hard drive. That is fact. You have a 500 gig hard drive, it has to install. So if you buy a disc, it's still going to install to the hard drive. You can play it right away, actually, which is kind of nice. But it does install to the hard drive. And there's an activation tied to that disc, or tied to a code that you have to punch in. There is an activation process. And Xbox Live keeps track of what you own. So there is a question proposed, like, is this always connected? There is a lot of dodgy answers, but it sounds like that it's not always connected, but it is. It does have to be connected at some point.
Can I add something to the hardware real quick?
Real quick.
Yeah, apparently it's using 8 gigs of RAM, but it's not using DDR5.
It's 8 gigs of RAM, but it sounds like there's like 3 reserved for all these stupid OS features they want to do, so it's like 5 for games.
Yeah, it's not. I think that was a trade-off, so they can put Kinect in every box. They were like, let's use 8 gigs, let's use DDR3 and spend the extra money on putting a Kinect.
That might be true. Yeah, which is fine. We'll see how it affects games. But
it's not going to affect them that much.
Probably not. But getting back to the games, there's an activation tied to the disc or punching a code, something, and that ties it to both your account and to the hardware. So by tying it to your account, that means you can go to a friend's house. You can bring the disc with you. If you just try to play it, pop it in and play on your friend's account, it's going to want to charge for that. For the activation of that game, because the activation is already tied to your account. If you log in with your Xbox Live gamer tag, you can install it, and it's not going to ask you to charge. It's not going to ask for payment.
I have some information about this.
No,
theme
I'm going to finish this, Azam, and you're going to sit there and you're going to wait, because we have limited time. It's also tied to the hardware, so even though it's tied to the gamer tag, everyone who has a gamer tag on the hardware that was initially installed on also has access to the game, so you don't have to buy a copy for little Sally or whatever. Everyone in your family can play it. This also raises questions about how used games will work, and there was mixed messages again, like, oh, used games will work, but it's going to charge you a fee if you buy it used. You're going to have to pay, you know, for the license. It's going to grant permission. It was a nightmare.
I love how, like, 2 days after that, their official statement was, well, the press doesn't have all the answers. It's
yeah,
only half of it, but
know.
They're the ones who answered it.
There's a lot of misinformation going
yeah,
around.
Yeah,
you're giving it to us.
Michael Harrison, you source. So basically, if you lend the game to a friend,
full price of the game, by the way.
What's up?
The fee is the full price of the game, by the way.
Well, there seems to be mixed reports about that. If you lend the game to a friend, or you give the game to your friend, they are going to have to pay the full price of the game, whatever that might be, because that can vary based on where the license is, what the cloud says it's worth. That can vary. But there's a website, mvcuk.com, reported that they found information retailers. This is a report. You can call it rumor or whatever. It's not verified by Microsoft. But basically, and this does make a lot of sense, they said this is how used games work. The game is tied to your account, and this is why Xbox Live has to check your account every 24 hours or so. When you go to sell that game to GameStop, they're going to run the disc through their system, which is tied to Microsoft. So you can only trade in games. You can't sell them on eBay. You can only trade in games at retailers that are connected to Microsoft's network. And
yeah.
when you bring in that game, it's going to say, like, okay, this disc is now a free agent. Xbox Live is going to ping your account on your Xbox One and say, oop, you traded this in, and then deny you access to that data. Then someone comes in and buys that game, and 3 people get a piece of that pie now, because Microsoft wants to please everyone but the customer. Microsoft gets a piece of the used game sale, the publisher
GameStop
gets a piece of the used game sale, and GameStop, or whoever, gets a piece of that used game sale, which means the games aren't going to be like $10 anymore, because you got to split it 3 ways. Those things are going to be crazy expensive.
Microsoft just said something stupid again.
What did they say?
Microsoft blaming gaming media for Xbox One consumer response.
Well, I think they should blame themselves for having a really stupid system. You know, the publishers are going to keep blaming these boogeymen, used games, piracy. Yeah, I understand that those things might impact your bottom line slightly. Here's what's impacting your bottom line. Making super huge games that are crazy expensive, laying off the entire staff, and then being disappointed they only sold 3.5 million in less than a month. The problem, these are your problems.
Talking about Tomb Raider?
Tomb Raider. This is your problem, game industry. Like, these are your problems. They're not ours. You're punishing us for your mistakes, and that's what's happening here. And this is the biggest problem I have with the Xbox One. I'm not interested in that. That just turns me off in so many ways. And they're just going to encourage them to keep doing their doubling down on their mistakes and making us pay for them. Ben Kuchera from Wired wrote a piece saying, like, oh, but this could turn Xbox One into Steam. And that's totally possible. I mean, that's why people love Steam. You don't, you can't trade games on Steam. You can't borrow games on Steam. But people love it because there's these huge sales. There's these bundles. Right. But here's the problem. We're trading in our the freedoms that we once had with games first in hopes that our dictators are going to be benevolent. That's fucked up. And that's not, it's not going to happen.
Mm. I also,
we're talking about me?
We're not talking about you. No freedoms, Azam. I also just don't think it's a viable option with physical media. I don't think treating physical media as digital media works. I don't think that's something that anybody wants to do. I mean, there was the DivX player that tried that. You could go to stores, you could buy DivX discs for like $4, and then you could only, you know, you could watch them on their terms, which was 48 hours at a time, whatever. Nobody wants to do that. However, if you like just rent something out digitally, then that works fine. Everybody's happy because you know that you don't own it. There's nothing sitting on your shelf like making you think, hey, this is something I can do whatever I want with.
It's a very mixed message. It's like they're trying to say, like, hey, here's your physical media. GameStop, please sell our console. And they're like, psych, it's really all digital. And it's really, they should, they're trying to have it both ways, and they really should have just picked a fucking side and went with it. And if they try to explain it, like, if they try to explain, like, listen, okay, it's all digital, we're not doing physical media, sorry collectors, but, like, listen, this is going to drive down prices, games are going to be cheaper, we're actively working with publishers to drive down, you know, the cost, the MSRP, we'll be able to do sales, we'll be able to do a lot of things that we can't do with physical media, and there's a trade-off, you don't have physical media, you can't lend a game to a friend, but there's some benefits as well. If they did that, they tried to advertise it as Steam, I think a lot more people will be on board, but because they're trying to walk, you know, two lines here, everything's fucked up. You're not getting any, you're not getting the benefits of either digital or physical, but you're getting all the drawbacks.
Yep.
And that's here's my problem. The thing. What's the thing,
I really like digital. I really do. I think it's help. I think it's useful. I think it's, you don't have all these stupid discs breaking and all this and that. But I think the thing with Microsoft is that they're trying, like you said, they're trying to play both sides. But I think it would have been just smarter to put a 2 terabyte hard drive in the Xbox One and just go full digital.
Yeah,
that's what they needed to do. If they wanted to take this route, if they wanted to take this approach of controlling everybody's media, what people can do with it, they should have gone full digital.
Yep. Because this is such a mixed mess. And imagine this is a very confusing process. We're like, oh, we need three people with their thumbs in the pie when you trade in a game and this and that. This is going to confuse they want the average buyer to buy this box and watch their fucking fantasy sports or whatever on it. But all this shit's just going to confuse the hell out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, if they're trying to sell it to, you know, the average person, I mean, those people probably don't even know about this yet. You know, they're going to buy Call of Duty or whatever and try to loan it to their friend, and it's not going to work, and they're going to be like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, no.
You know, I have the disc. Why doesn't it work?
Yep. So they went about this the wrong way. And you know, and this is – I was thinking this. Seth and I were thinking this independently, but it's – what does this mean for the future of this console? Like, all of us routinely buy games that are, you know, 20-plus years old. We're not going to be able to do that with the Xbox One, it sounds like. I mean, if the game has to activate, and there has to be, like, Xbox Live checks and stuff, is Microsoft going to want to maintain that 20 years from now? No, because these companies are really short-sighted. They don't even really think about the immediate future. I can't imagine that I'm going to be able to play these games 20 years from now.
And even if there is a way for them to, like, deactivate the process of having to activate games or whatever to play them, they even said, like, some games are going to require that cloud or whatever in order to play at all.
Right.
Because there's going to be processing going on in the whole magical cloud thing that they got going on.
And
I don't think Microsoft's going to do this.
Do what?
This used game thing. I think at E3 they're going to say it was a, like, misconfusion or something. They're just going to cancel it.
We never said that. Well, what are you guys talking about? Do whatever you want.
Yeah. No, they could. And you know what? People are like, well, I'm going to go with Sony. But here's the thing. Like, Sony really
Sony could do it, too.
Sony has not expanded their commentary on how activating or used game sales are going to work. And when EA says, whoop, we're not doing our online passes anymore.
It's because of them.
This is why.
This is why, number one. But they're not – it would create this really weird environment where Microsoft has all this locked down and Sony doesn't. EA is going to be like, where's the incentive to put my games on Sony's platform? So I feel like Sony's probably got some sort of system in place. If it's as draconian, I don't know. But I would be surprised if Sony did not have something similar.
If they were smart, they would ride all this Microsoft backlash right now. And even if they did have this system in place, they should scrap that shit before they announced it and just pretend like they never had it. Because I think they could get a lot of customers that way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really – I mean, I buy Sony systems. I have them all. But I'm, I mean, people know that they're not, you know, they're not my go-to system, but the PS4 could be, for the first time, a Sony system could be my go-to system, because this Xbox One, this X-boner doesn't sound great at all. This really, it's fine with Microsoft. I'm not angry about it. Like, they can do whatever they want, and I have the choice not to buy. I'm not mad. Some people are angry about it. There's no reason to be mad. But it's just not appealing to me in any way. I don't care about all the extra things. I care about if I can play my games 20 years from now. All the things that are important to me, Microsoft is not embracing. They're moving in a very strange direction, and I just don't see it benefiting them, and it certainly doesn't benefit me.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. With Sonya right now.
I know the title of this episode.
Here's the thing.
Yep.
We're up to like 20 things. What's this thing is on?
Sony could go two ways with this. They could. I think the way Sony's thinking about it now is that if they don't have use game restrictions, they'll get more sales.
Right.
And the way other people are looking at it is that if developers are happy with Microsoft doing this, and that they're going to put pressure on Sony to do the same thing.
Oh, I'm sure they already have.
Yeah, they probably are right now.
People are pretty sure this is why EA suddenly dropped Wii U, because there is no restrictions on their system as far as games go.
Makes sense.
I mean, EA did say, oh, we are developing games for it, just not as many. And yeah, you're right. This is probably exactly why. It's probably not like bad. Everyone's like, Nintendo needs to aggressively court them. But if Nintendo needs to aggressively court them by putting all like this anti-consumer shit on there, I don't know. You know, people can accuse Nintendo of not knowing what the fuck they're doing in the online space, and that's probably partially true. But a lot of Nintendo's like simplicity means like there's less complications and certainly less ways for things to go wrong. I mean, for the most part, I can put in a game in my Wii U and play it, and downloading stuff from the eShop is pretty painless. And if by comparison, you know, PS4 and Xbox One are going to be more complicated, that's not as interesting to me. I want the least amount of resistance for me to just play good games. That's all I want. And Xbox One seems to have the most amount of resistance so far. We'll see what the PS4 does, but
What do you guys think of the name?
It's stupid, but I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how everyone was expecting it to be Infinity, and it didn't turn out to be Xbox One.
Yeah, I think it's a confusing name because, you know, people refer to, like, the first Xbox as Xbox One. I think that's really going to be confusing, and people are going to type in Xbox and then the numeral one into Google, and they're going to come up with the original Xbox. It's going to fuck everything up, and they were stupid for doing that. But me, personally, I don't care what they can call it, whatever they want. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I bought a Wii and a Wii U. Obviously, I don't give a shit. But that's about all the time we have for. We do have to move on to listener feedback here to keep the show moving along.
Wait, can we wrap up the Call of Duty trailer now?
We're going to talk about the... No, we're not going to talk about Call of Duty.
No, let's wrap up with the...
But Craig, the fish moved out of the way.
Yeah, it looks like a Microsoft. It looks like a Windows 95 screensaver. That's fantastic.
And someone was falling off a building in the trailer.
There was a fucking dog. Yeah,
his name's Colin.
I hope that they have something for E3. They could sell me on this machine. They could. They clarify some of these things, and it's not as draconian. It does actually lower MSRP. It does encourage sales. That could sell me. And if we come at E3 and Rare is actually working on something worthwhile, in my opinion, like a new Perfect Dark or Banjo-Kazooie or even a new Viva Pinata would persuade me. I would love to see a Fable 4. I know that's not a popular opinion, but Peter Molyneux is no longer at Lionhead, if Lionhead even still exists. Sure exists in some sense. And if Microsoft came out and they still have the core of what makes Fable, but they're like, we got a brand new team, we got some fresh ideas. I like the first three Fables, but I know other people don't. That could also help sell some people, because I'm sure a lot of people like the concept of Fable, they just don't necessarily like the execution. A fresh new team could definitely help with that. These things would sell me, but Call of Duty and, you know, Xbox TV doesn't sell me on anything.
EA Sports.
Same here.
All right, so let's move on to listener feedback. If you want to get involved with this, it is tvnless.net. You can see the giant banner for the mailbag. You can drop us a comment. We will read it on the air. We got a lot this episode. I was trying to get through this in about a half an hour.
I'm going to have a nap.
You're going to have a nap. Nice. Thanks for participating, Azam. Chaos Saturn, King of All Cosmos, says, "Hey guys, I know you have been asked what your favorite game is before on the podcast, but what is your favorite game series of all time? Mine is Zelda. I might have to go with Zelda. That's just my knee-jerk reaction."
Yeah, I'm going to say Zelda, too.
Zelda.
Azam, sure, is Call of Duty, right?
No.
What is it, Azam?
Well, since I grew up with the PS, I'm going to say Ratchet and Clank.
Fair enough. You are a little bit younger than us. That is understandable. And what is your guys' most anticipated game of 2013 minus Pikmin 3?
Call of Duty Ghosts. Just kidding.
Yeah, we caught on. I think in the short term, because release dates move around, things get revealed, so in the short term it'll be Remember Me. That's my most anticipated game.
That's coming out pretty soon.
It is. It's coming out like June
4th.
Yeah, June 4th. I'm pretty jazzed for that.
I'm looking forward to Ace Attorney 5. You know, the Ace Attorney games on the DS were some of my favorite, and you know, now that they just announced that it'll be coming out pretty soon, relatively soon anyway, in the fall. I'm pretty excited for that. You know, there are some stuff that will probably be revealed at E3, like the 3D Mario, but you know, having not seen that yet, it's hard to be super excited about that. So
I'm looking forward to the Wonderful 101. That is my upcoming game.
Azam
died. I heard like a chair crash. Or I assume he was leaning backwards. He probably hit his head like on a counter as he fell back, and now he is just probably dead in a pool of his own blood.
I feel terrible for laughing right now. I hope Azam is okay.
He's still on the call, but he's not. I don't see any like noise coming from his end. Azam, you still there?
Be quiet and see if you could like hear blood pooling.
That would have to be... All right, I guess just let us know when you come back, dude. Chaos Saturn says that the Xbox One does indeed block used games.
I'm back.
Where did you guys, like, walked away? Like, fuck this podcast, man.
Sorry.
Azam, ladies and gentlemen, round of applause.
Hi.
What happens if you want to play a new game you bought from the shops and don't have access to the internet? I guess you won't be able to play the game because you won't be able to link the new game to your live account without internet access. So if you don't have internet connection, the Xbox is just a paperweight. No, I mean, that's true. I mean, ping checks, I mean, checking your permissions is not a resource-heavy thing, I imagine. So, you know, if you have, like, slow internet or you don't, you know, because a lot of countries have slow internet, they don't have the best internet access. I don't think that is a huge deal. Necessarily being connected, but it could be problematic for sure. Yeah.
You know what? I wonder if you'll be able to wirelessly, well, obviously you can already do this, but wirelessly connect the Xbox One to your smartphone, the smart glass, whatever that thing is, and then do the internet checks from there.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, and by the way, on my most anticipated game of the year thing, it's Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs, all right. Thanks for joining in on that question we just answered. seems like they're just shooting themselves in the foot with blocking used games. What are your thoughts on it? Well, we already talked about it. I think it
talked about it for 20 minutes.
it could be problematic unless they do Steam style stuff. Otherwise, I'm just gonna Craig Lipinski. I'm gonna build a PC because
same here.
That's not gonna be worthwhile.
Me and Fitz were talking about this.
Yeah. He also says, when posting this and the time you guys read on the podcast, Microsoft could have changed things, confirmed things different from what gaming news sites are. But nope, they're probably not going to say a whole lot until E3, I don't think. Noah says, what moments in Game of Thrones have shocked you the most so far, not just this season? For me, it was when the two characters were killed/poisoned at the end of the first book or season. You don't have to be as ambiguous with your answers. I just wanted to leave spoilers out of something that everyone sees. I don't think anything really shocked me. TV doesn't really shock me, I guess. I don't know.
Azam, are you in a rocking chair?
This is water.
That's water that's creaking around.
That is noisy water, Azam.
Yeah.
He's pouring it directly onto his computer.
Chris, you're watching Game of Thrones.
Oh my god.
Azam, you gotta keep the noise down, bro. We had to talk about that.
Like one of those sound CDs that you just put on and listen to the ambient.
I want to put your sound on my PS3.
Don't, no noise, no noise. You
no noise.
No noise.
It's only dreams now.
Chris, do you have any shocking moments in Game of Thrones?
I'm still pretty early. I only watched the first maybe 4 episodes, but
someone gets killed or poisoned.
Yeah, somebody got killed at the end of the first episode, or somebody got thrown out a window in the end of the first episode. That was pretty shocking.
Yeah, that happens. Seth is on. You guys watch Game of Thrones?
I do not.
Game of Thrones.
What?
What's Game of Thrones?
Don't it's you live on the internet? Aren't you like a digital entity that just lives?
It's a Disney Junior cartoon. It's about,
really?
Yeah, it's about a doctor who fixes stuffed toys.
Is it a game?
No.
Moving on, Noah also goes on to say if we're going to have like meetups for Animal Crossing New Leaf. I don't know. I didn't really think about that, but maybe, I guess. Francois says, bonjour. You're seriously having the annoying and childish Azam on as a podcast guest. That's a great way to guarantee that many new listeners will never tune in again. I mean this respectfully. Please have some pride and integrity and don't degrade your fine show by having Azam as a guest. You may not realize it, but a lot of us respect your hard work putting on a great show, but including an immature guest who makes offensive Hitler jokes and declares himself dictator of Team Less will do more harm than good for your growing listenership. This comment rubs me the wrong way for two reasons. The first reason is that I think we've always been gracious with feedback, even when the feedback's been even more aggressive than this. But feedback, when combined with, like, saying you're going to hold the show like emotionally hostage is kind of childish, I think. I think, like, I can't stop you from thinking, you know, this way, but I, you know, when someone says, like, oh, if you do this thing I don't want you to do, clearly you have no integrity and you're going to degrade, like, that's stupid. Like, don't hold the show hostage. Fine, whatever, dude. But the second reason why it bothers me is that Francois is not exactly a shining beacon of maturity himself. Francois' first comment was talking about how he masturbates to Seth. So I don't know
to my voice, not to me.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if that's a jerk off joke, a gay joke, a gay jerk off joke. It doesn't really matter because you know this is a case of the pot calling the kettle black. And, you know, if you want to be immature in the comments, that's fine. We read pretty much all of them anyway, and we have a good chuckle. But you don't really have a high perch here, Francois. You don't have the moral high ground, so I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
The only reason I'm here is because I wanted to troll this guy.
Well done, Azam.
And Azam's been a fine guest. He's been all right, so I don't know. Michael says, hey, Supreme Leader, Seth and Craig. Wow, someone's actually paying you some tribute there, Azam.
Thank you.
And on the subject of the dictator thing, didn't we start that joke? Didn't I make the joke about Azam being... I don't think Azam declared... I think I made the joke. And then Azam and everyone else, for that matter, ran with it. So I don't even know.
I declared myself king first.
Oh, you declared yourself king. Oh, I see. Fair enough. But a lot of people seem to be running with the joke, not just you.
Wait, before we go to the next question, something really weird is happening with the Call of Duty thing.
Here's
the thing, number 23. The first map pack for Black Ops 2 was called Revolution. The second one's called Uprising. Is Seth doing something with Call of Duty?
What?
The first map pack.
We got that.
What did you do? Are you just reading random stuff on the internet and just like saying it on the podcast?
The first map pack was called Revolution for Black Ops 2. The second one is called Uprising. Is Fest trying to start an uprising using Call of Duty?
No.
Okay. That's good.
Michael says, hey, Supreme Leader, Seth, Craig, and the one who just says yes, yeah, a lot in the background. What do you guys think of the PS3 as a whole? I know you don't like all the BS it does to waste your time, neither do I, but I prefer to Xbox for exclusives. Xboxes aren't bad, just not very many, and I like the controller. Thanks, chums. This may surprise some people, but, you know, I did not buy the PS3 at launch, but I was a fairly early adopter. Back, and again, people may not remember this, but the online perception of the PS3 was very negative at first. And I actually defended the PS3 quite a lot because, I mean, as a system, it's fine. It's really not, you know, it plays games, you know. But as far as, like, PSN goes and all the installations go, you know, I've been very vocal about that. I don't like it. But, you know, if you want to play games, it does that. There's nothing wrong with it. So, yeah, no.
PS3 is the only system I currently own.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
but I like the system a lot.
Yeah, I'm fine with the system. It's just all this stuff, all this other stuff it does to waste my time, yeah.
So, one negative thing, I don't like the exclusives on it.
I do prefer Microsoft's exclusives, generally speaking, myself.
I prefer the PS2 exclusives.
I don't know if that's a factor. What, Seth and Chris, what do you guys think?
I think I like it slightly less than the Xbox 360, just because, I don't know, when I'm feeling more social, I think it's easier on the Xbox 360, too. Just to pop into party chat, and you could play different games while talking and stuff like that. I do appreciate it for its D-pad, because, like, any 2D games or any games that uses a D-pad, I just automatically get on the PS3. It's not even a factor. But, no, I think they both have their place. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm very vocally, like, negative about PS3. I think I'm just, like, fucking, like, Charlie Brown when it comes to Sony systems. They just give me so many problems. And I know that they don't give everyone else as many problems, but, like, every single time, and I document it on Twitter, like, I take pictures and shit. Like, it's just every single thing I try to do on Sony systems. Sony systems are like, nah, fuck off, bro. And so that's problematic for me. I do like the D-pad, and... it's way easier to be social on the 360. I mean, Seth has a good point. PSN is just not... It's basically a very bare-bones system that's just designed to hook you up. With the 360, like, that's all done through, like, almost like the OS and stuff. Like, you can hit join game or invite to game through the OS. You can't do that on PS3. You have to go through the individual games, which have, you know, all different menus. You have to, like, basically relearn a menu each time with each new game, so...
Right. I think the Xbox has a lot over the PS3, but I do like the games on the PS3. It seems like in the last couple of years, it's had more interesting exclusives, at least to me.
Mm.
You know, stuff like Ni No Kuni and Uncharted. You know, I was a big fan of the 360's exclusives, you know, a few years ago with Banjo-Kazooie and Alan Wake and Crackdown. But it seems more recently I've been more into the PS3, at least from a game standpoint.
Speaking of Ni No Kuni, how good is that game?
We like it.
I
was thinking about buying it, so...
You should buy it.
Great.
We do have to move along here. Nathan E. says, hey guys, with E3 around the corner, what are the top three things you are hoping to see? Think way outside the realm of possibility, even. He says, I'm curious to see what Retro Studios has been working on. I secretly hope it's a new Star Tropics, but sadly, I know not to get my hopes up. I'm also looking forward to seeing what they do with the new Mario Wii U game, and hopefully some news on a new Mega Man. Anyways, guys, just thought it'd be fun to see how many of these actually, how many of these hopes actually come to fruition. Come E3, keep up the awesome. We will do our best. I don't know. I don't get my hopes up for anything because my hopes always get dashed to hell. Even my realistic expectations get shattered. So I just don't think anything of E3 before E3.
Mega Man Legends 3 revival.
Oof. That'd be
cool. Nintendo helping with development on that new Sonic game that was announced. Number three, Microsoft dropping this whole fucking DRMU sales thing. That's my way outside the realm of possibilities.
I'm going to agree with Nathan and say a new Star Tropics. I would love it if the team that made the Sonic Racing games was doing the new Mario Kart. Or maybe like Mario Kart / Sonic Racing.
They hinted at it.
I know they
did.
Yeah, that's what put it in my mind. So I would love if that was the case.
Because they can be out Mario Kart to be perfectly.
Do my things?
No, I think it's slightly different. Like gameplay. I don't know if it's fair to do a direct comparison. I do.
Mainly because like the sense of speed is better. Like the items are much more fair. Like even when you get like the All-Star, like yeah, you can wreck some shit, but it's not like as devastating as that fucking or as common as that blue shell.
Like, I feel like a lot of the items in Sonic Racing are just flat out boring though. I do agree that Mario Kart's a lot of them are broken.
Well, that's like, the thing. Nintendo won't let them change the items.
Fuck the bullet bill and fuck those blue shells.
Right.
But
so, I mean, so if they're working within the Mario Kart framework and then use that in conjunction with how their items operate in terms of fairness, I think that might be a good balance.
Mm-hmm. Did you list three, Chris?
Oh, third one, I would love to see a localization of Phoenix Wright versus Ace Attorney. Or Leighton versus Ace Attorney.
That that's got to be getting localized.
I'd like to hope so, but Ace Attorney 5 was announced after that, and we know about that and not about the other games. So
Level 5 needs money.
More Guild Zero something or other games.
Yeah, it's gonna be a guild game. That's what Ace Attorney versus game. Professor.
I love the guild games. They're so great, man. I can't wait for Earth Devastating B Rank Girlfriend.
Oh, I don't care
what kind of game that is. That is the best name for a game of all time.
Yep.
Azam, what are you looking forward to at E3?
The PlayStation 5 gets revealed.
That is way outside the realm of possibility.
Last Guardian gets a release date.
Man, he's shooting high. Vita 2. Like, that's...
Final Fantasy Versus 13 gets a release date.
That would be nice.
The Last Guardian and Final Fantasy Versus 13 are going to become the same game. I think that's what's going to happen.
What Azam wants to see revolves around existing games, and they're still less likely than anything else.
Yeah, we're more likely to get Star Tropics in the last
Sony announces this is the PS Vita's successor.
You get three.
That doesn't count, Azam. You can't have that
Here's
one.
The thing, Azam. That's enough.
All right. Jeremy says, hey, sexy ladies. I think he's talking to you, Azam. I take it by this point, you've already talked about Xbox One to the ground. But I wanted to hear your thoughts and speculation on something I thought of after the conference. Microsoft clearly wants the multimedia big living room market with the TV features, and they paraded Madden, FIFA, and Call of Duty. EA's statements afterwards made them sound much more interested in Xbox One than PS4, making them seemingly the only ones. What would you guys think if each console had its own niche, the catch being the Xboxes was the mass market games like the ones previously mentioned? PlayStation could be home to RPGs and action games, Wii U platformers, adventure games, party games. Now, I, of course, don't mean each genre exclusively on those platforms, but if every console wasn't fighting for the same games from the same studios, there would be much more diversity, and I believe we would end up with higher quality, higher profit games versus higher budget games with lower profit. I have not explained that in the best way. No, that's fine. That makes sense. And it probably isn't realistic anyway. No, unfortunately, it's not. But it would be pretty nice to see each console have its own market rather than three analogous consoles. And I agree with that. I mean, that's always been my argument for, like, Nintendo's diversions because, I mean, why do you want three consoles to do the same exact thing on the market? That doesn't make it – why would you want that? It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, the Wii Remote, the GamePad, these things make sense. They sort of – even if you don't like them, it makes sense to have something that's a bit different on the market that only – that could benefit you in the long run. Each console having its own niche, I would be down for that. Like, that seems kind of nice, but it's a pipe dream. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's never going to happen, especially with third parties who want to release their games on everything that they can to make as much money as they can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Not everybody's going to buy both the Xbox One and the PS4, so they're going to want to sell, you know, to everybody who has both. So, unfortunately, it won't happen, but I would love that.
You know, I wonder if that would be bad for competition, though. Like, maybe there would be no Forza /
Gran Turismo.
He also did say, like, it wouldn't be exclusive, like, racing games wouldn't be exclusive on, I mean, obviously, you know, you could have Forza and Gran Turismo coexisting, but, you know, it would just be more like those consoles would focus on those things, and I would like that, that'd be nice, it seems to, you know, better suit. Perhaps the developers working on there. I don't know.
You know what's weird with Sony right now?
No, what?
What is the thing with Sony?
They're talking about PS4 a lot, and they keep pushing PS3.
Well, yeah. I mean, usually on the cusp of a new console, they got to talk out of both sides of their mouth.
Sony's really good at transitioning their consoles, unlike Nintendo, who, like, drops their consoles, like, a year, 6 months before their
next one's coming out. That's a good point. I never thought of that. Totally true. Sony is very good at transitioning their
consoles. Yeah, they did it really well.
Several games coming up for the PS3.
Yeah.
Beyond Two Souls, Gran Turismo 6, The Last of Us.
Yeah.
What else?
Yep, that's a list. We got to move on. Francois says, bonjour, Craig, Seth, and Chris. During my early rage over Azam's guest appointment, I forgot to thank Seth for soothing my syphilis. As if on cue to prove my fucking point. And it's fine, you want to be immature, but don't call out anyone else for being immature. His voice, which is, I'm not reading this.
Read it! Okay. Read it right now, Craig.
His voice, which is equaled only by the vocals of famed painter Bob Ross, is a mystical ointment that extinguishes the inferno in my loins. Unfortunately, the flames that reside in my lover's crotch linger. Syphilis symptom, soothing... That's
an alliteration.
That is an alliteration.
That's a soothing sensation.
Remind me of Craig's Natural Sounds YouTube video on the Autonomous Sensory Meridian Responsor, ASMR, of the Nintendo Entertainment System. Craig, are you planning on any more of these types of videos? I was, and I might still, but man, did I receive a lot of... I mean, I received a lot of, like, support for that video, because I did do an ASMR-esque video for my Nintendo Entertainment System. And I plan to do it actually for a variety of systems, so I could show off just the art and the sounds of a system rather than my stupid fucking voice, which you can tune in every week on the podcast anyway. And then I've received a lot of backlash for that. So I might still. I mean, it's always possible. They don't take very much effort, so maybe. Clock Blocker says the TVNS anthem is the Buck Bumble title screen music. I could be okay with that.
Agreed. I forgot about that.
I think right about now it's time to bumble.
The biggity Buck Bumble. Papercom says, is it safe to say that Francois is the new Sally? No, actually, Sally had somewhat of a... I miss Sally, by the way. Sally had somewhat... I have a very weird relationship with Azam. Like, she was argumentative with Azam, but she was also very... She chided me a couple times for the way that sometimes I respond to Azam. So she had a very complicated relationship with him. Did Sally ever talk to you, Azam?
On Twitter, yes.
She did. Was she nice to you?
No.
No? No.
This was last year, by the way.
Yeah, and she hasn't been around lately. Has she talked to you lately?
No.
Nah.
I don't know. I don't even remember what her Twitter account was.
It was like TV and Lust Sally or something like that.
Let me go check.
Or TV and Luster. I don't know. She did something to it. Sea Dog says, Craig, you should watch the amazing atheist video, 33 Reasons Not to Be a Feminist. I think it'll enlighten you. I've seen the video, but the amazing atheist is a fucking idiot, and I don't think he's going to enlighten anyone about anything. No, I'm totally a feminist, and I have no problem saying that. I think, to me, not being a feminist is not the way to go. Helsinki Rocks says, this is totally not related to the podcast, so feel free to not read it on the air, and I would actually prefer if you didn't read it. It's just thoughts, offering concerns. He basically offered to moderate the forums. Yeah, we can talk later about that. It's really not that hard to moderate the forums. I mean, most people, anyone who ever posts on the post, I mean, pretty much everyone was pretty cool. We didn't really have to exercise much power over people. It's just going through the new accounts and going through all the trash and approving accounts that seem legitimate, which there aren't very many. So that's the only thing you really have to do. So if you want to do that, yeah, we can talk about that later.
Apparently Microsoft is blocking comments on YouTube.
Where do you come up with? Are you following along, Azam?
Yes, I am.
It's very, very non-sequiturs. Yes, on their video they did remove comments, but they kept the thumbs-up system last time I checked, which was not smart because a lot of people were thumbing the video down. And then Helsinki Rock says, offer a question. He says, do you guys buy many of those classic game compilations like SNK Arcade Classics for PS2, Wii, and Capcom Classics Collection? Why or why not? And what are your general thoughts of them? I think they're great. I mean, in many cases, I like to own original cartridges and stuff. But for, like, you know, $20 or whatever, you can go out and buy a bunch of great Capcom games. I think they're great. I think they're terrific.
Yeah, especially since a lot of the arcade games aren't... You know, you can't get them unless you own an arcade or you do MAME emulation or something.
Right.
I generally prefer the ones that, like, contain, like, a whole set of games. Like, I have the Metal Slug anthologies and, like, Samurai Showdown and King of Fighters and stuff like that. But I do have one of the Capcom Classic collections, and, it's awesome. It's good having all those games together like that.
Right on.
Yeah, I think they're cool. I generally don't buy a lot of them because... if I buy one of those collections that has, like, a whole bunch of games, like, I have the Sonic Ultimate Collection for the 360, and when I get a collection like that that has a ton of games on it, I don't know what to play, and I don't end up playing any of them, so I don't buy a lot of them, but it's great that they're out there.
Yep. What about you, Azam? You buy some of these classic game compilations?
I buy a lot of HD collections and PS1 classics.
That's probably just a generational thing, then. So something similar, but not quite.
I'm
Skype. This is great. Advent says, if there were an episode to try and record live, it'd be with this guest, please. Here's the thing about that.
Here's the thing.
The what?
I didn't think of that. That would have been kind of fun. But like I said, I do have to work tonight. I would prefer to do something like that when I don't have to work and really stretch
out. What?
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 Here's the thing, Azam, you have a mute button. Silver Mongoose says, does Francois not realize that bonjour is one word and not two? And then my French is really bad, so I'm not going to try to pronounce that. But he accuses Francois of being an imposter, a French imposter. In our midst,
I assume with French, you just like stop pronouncing the word halfway through.
You just kind of try. Yeah, he accuses him of being a French imposter. Also, with the current apathy towards the next generation, do you see veteran gamers delving more in retro gaming? What about yourselves? Maybe not, if not retro gaming, certainly more like indie stuff, more maybe mobile stuff. You might see, I mean, Steam is already really popular, but you might see it become more popular. So maybe retro games, but I think these diverging paths, people are going to start exploring more of those if what we're getting is this weird multimedia box from Microsoft.
Apathy is perfect, man, because like the PS4 reveal didn't do anything for me. This Xbox One reveal really didn't. I was excited for the Wii U, but then, you know, there's no fucking games right now.
Right.
So, yeah, actually, I've been hitting up eBay just a lot generally lately.
Yep. I think apathy is the best word for it, because I'm not angry. I don't care. They can make whatever product they want. I'm not going to get angry about it. But, yeah, apathy is the biggest thing. And it feels weird to be apathetic, because I love video games. I'm fucking TV and Lust, man. Like, I collect a bunch of shit, and I love talking about it. But I look at this stuff, and I just go, this isn't for me. Like, this is really heading down a strange path, and... You know, the more I play, like, my 3DS or my Vita or something, like, the more... Zomio!
Hi.
Do you live in the creakiest house.
It's like that part of Pirates of the Caribbean where you go underneath the house. That's, you guys don't live in California. Fuck you. All right, never mind.
I feel like...
With my friend, sorry.
More I play my 3DS, more I play my Vita, the more I'm satisfied with those things. And, you know, Nintendo starts coming out with games with the Wii U, I sort of, like, think, like... I mean, that's already three-fifths of the eighth generation. We already have three-fifths of the eighth generation. People seem to think it hasn't started. It already has, you know. It's the PS4 and the Xbox One that are a little late to the party, not everyone else. And I just don't feel like I really need them. At least not at launch. Maybe later, depending on what kind of games come out, but...
I will buy a PS4 when I see good exclusives.
It's a smart plan, Azam.
Yeah, I'd like to be excited for the new systems, but at this point, I'm not. I am pretty apathetic about them, and I'm okay with it, because there are so many retro games that I haven't played, and indie games, and, you know, like, games for the consoles I currently own that I haven't played, so.
So far, my next-gen plans are PS4 and not Xbox One. But if PS4 does what Xbox One does, I'm going to go PC gaming.
I think a lot of people are going to do that.
I think 3DS... sorry, Craig.
Nope,
I'm going to slow you down here. No, I like 3DS is really the only system out there right now that has like a lot of games coming out that I'm actually looking forward to.
Yeah, most games I'm buying this summer are actually portable games. A lot of 3DS games. You got Muramasa on the Vita. Yeah, I mean, the next few months, there's not a whole lot of console gaming.
Yeah, I don't own handheld, so...
Alrighty then. Clock Block.
Quiet silence.
Quiet, yeah. Zom, way to kill everything. Clock Blocker says, what happened to the TV and Lust podcast every weekend picture? It was false advertising, so I took it down.
I never even heard. When did you advertise this?
That was on the webpage on the right hand side. There was an image that Fran made. It's the podcast like every weekend. But it's also
the microphone thing.
Yeah. It's also redundant because the entire front page is just all the podcast anyway, so why do I need to advertise something that you can very plainly see on the front page?
Yeah, I think that worked better when we wrote stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a podcast here?
Oh, no shit.
What's that?
This is all a figment of your imagination, Zombie. Cats are fighting. Now it's me making noises. This is great. I hope everyone can hear this podcast. Clock Blockers says, "Hey, Spider-Man and arachnophobes." I think it's Seth that's an arachnophobe.
Yeah,
I'm a snakeophobe. I love buying video games for people who don't know anything about them. Is that about 2 years ago? I picked up a box N64 from a thrift store, and the man who worked there mistook it for a VCR, maybe because he saw Goldeneye in the bunch. I ended up getting a really good deal on them. I also found sealed copies of Pokemon and Donkey Kong Country 3 on the GBA for less than the Azam.
Sorry, I have a squeaky chair.
I also found sealed copies of Pokemon and Donkey Kong Country 3 on the GBA for less than shipping would have been for those games if it was sent to me. Now, as I visited a different thrift store, that had a Sega Mega Drive. The people there didn't know much about it, but they wanted top money for it because of it being a quote-unquote classic. I'm not saying it isn't a classic. It's just that nobody would pay the price of a big box collector's edition game that just launched. Man, these comments get really verbose. You guys got to cut down some of these comments. It's so fucking long. I have to read them and answer them. This is way too long.
So we're talking about box games now?
No.
Zom, where have you been? Were you flying off in space, bro?
Talking with a friend.
No. Buying used games for people who don't know anything about them is great, but that's not as common anymore. You either have people that really do know a lot about them. There's a lot of those people. But then you have people that don't know anything about them, but then want to overcharge you, like, for the Sega Mega Drive here. I mean, that's what, like, oh, I don't know anything about this. Billy's Nintendo tapes, these got to be worth a lot of money.
That reminds me of one of those episodes of, like, Storage Wars or something, where some dude's, like, all getting excited over an NES he found. He's like, oh, this is a 101 model. This is worth hundreds. This is just fucking standard NES.
They don't know. And Storage Wars and like Pawn Stars. Pawn Stars, is that what it's called? They don't know what they're talking about. They get other people in.
I saw Pawn Stars. I think some dude sold them his Virtual Boy for like $80. Like, I think that was like $10 when I bought it around the same time. So no.
Wait a second. So the guy got $80 for it?
Yeah, he sold it to the pawn shop
because that's about what he made.
Yep.
You could. I mean, that's, you know, like, wow, Jesus. What do they hope to sell it for then? Like 150? Like,
I don't know what they're doing with it.
Was it boxed or loose?
I'm pretty sure it was loose.
Wow, that guy made good money on that. Jesus. And whoever's going to buy it from that pawn shop is going to get dicked.
Yep. So, yeah, sometimes people who don't know about video games works to your advantage. But it's hard to find those people.
It's hard. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't know much about older video games, but oftentimes, it seems to work against you more and more these days because people just assume it's worth more than it is. They tend to go towards that rather than, you want this box NES? That'll be $10, please. Doesn't mm-hmm. happen. I'm going to have to cut that comment short. That's way too long. Love the podcast. We love you, too. Clock Block. How many comments are Clock Blockers? Usually, we chastise the Zon for this. It's Clock Blockers. We made like 20 comments here. He says it would be nice to edit the comments. I don't know how to do that. Brandon and Seth says the Amazing Atheist is kind of a twat. Yes, he is. But on to my question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you feel as though you've lived up to your potential in life?
3 out of 10.
I agree.
I think, like, I don't know. Never mind. I don't want to be mean to Azam. I was going to say, does the scale go up to 10? But no. I don't know, like a 2 out of 10? I don't know. I think I'm not doing great over here.
Can I change my answer? 10 out of 10?
You can have 10 out of 10. I don't know how many people are going to buy it, but you can totally say that if you want.
Azam's okay, still perfect. Young.
Azam, yeah, you got plenty. That's the thing, Azam. You don't have a scale yet. You're not there. You're not old and jaded yet, so
I'm not answering this question, then.
Okay. What about you, Chris?
I don't know. 5. I'm doing all right.
Well, some people know my background. I think I'm doing okay. I think I'm a solid 8 or 9 out of 10, because, let's be honest, like, I was not set up for very much in life. my background is really, really bad, so I think I'm doing pretty fucking good compared to where I probably should be.
I think I have a lot of just wasted ass potential.
I think that's that too. I think I could probably do more with my life, which is why actually I'm going to go with 8. There's definitely room for improvement, but I've done pretty well for myself, I think.
I'm going to. I'm shooting low. I'm gonna raise this up.
Okay. Raise this skill. In a year, I expect you to be a solid 4, Seth. You understand?
All right.
That's why I
as long as you don't pass me, Seth.
I'm gonna be a solid 1. I'm gonna decrease.
Well, that's not what you want to do.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway.
I wish you the best of luck in your life spiraling out of control then. Supreme ruler of everything, Confused Batman, says Azam has lost the battle for TV in Lestonia. Because luckily I pulled a few strings and now I am in charge of the Ultraverse. I'm appointing Seth as assistant to the regional manager. Regional manager is Craig, of course.
Apparently, I don't...
Okay, I know how to pull this up. I'm the director of the podcast. This guy's the director of the website, and Silvermong does the forums.
That was a random appointment. Azam has spoken. I don't know. Regional manager. What region are we talking about? We're talking about the Ultraverse. Am I just on like the visible spectrum or something? Is that what I am regionally managing?
There's gonna be a European version of the website.
TVNLust.co.uk.
Apparently, I'm not doing shit, so be happy you got regional manager at least.
You make cups, Chris.
You're in charge of cups. Yeah, you have to make the cups. So my assistant can go get me coffee.
I feel so important.
We all have our place in TV Lestonia, so let's.
We need to go fast. We're running out of time.
We are running out of time. Okay, so that's all the questions. Azam, you are my court jester. Thank you. That's everything. TVNLust.net, get in on the mailbag and ask us some questions. Hopefully not giant paragraphs. I would love to do giant paragraphs, but we don't always have time. We have about 20 minutes left to talk about games we've been playing lately. I am going to go first to start off the pace here. I played Ouya. I played with my Ouya. I did a review. You can go to youtube.com/TVNLust to check out the unboxing and the review. It's exactly what it says it's going to be. A lot of these reviews, like I think The Verge did a review and they were like, what, like 3 out of 10 or 4 out of 10? It's exactly what it says it's going to be. It's an Android phone in a box so you can play it on TV. It's got some quirks, mostly quirks that can be ironed out in the future. So I think it's okay. I'm fine with it. It's exactly what it said it was going to be. So you can check out that video if you'd like. There wasn't much on the Nintendo 3DS eShop this past week. So I checked out the demo for Naruto Powerful Shippuden, and that was actually fun. It's a really lighthearted brawler with some nice art, actually. It's really crisp and vibrant. Looks like a cartoon. Everyone's all super deformed. Everyone's all chibi. And there's 2 playable characters. There's a variety of moves. It has some role-playing elements so you can, like, level up stats or use your experience to unlock better weapons or defensive abilities. Each stage has like a mission, like you have an objective and then a fail state. If you do something, then, you know, you fail the mission, and you can also set your own objectives too for you to clear. And some are harder than others, but if you set your own objectives to be harder, you get bonus experience. So you get more experience for the harder the objective is. Did I $40 enjoy it to go out and buy it? Not so much, but. I was actually pleasantly surprised by a Naruto game.
This series never going to end.
No, of course not. It makes too much money. I did actually, there's a Naruto game on the Xbox 360 I enjoyed. It was called Rise of a Ninja. It's not a fighting game. It's actually more of an open world action adventure game. You can run up buildings and find shit and go on quests and like level up. And when you did fight, it was almost like an RPG. You ran it. You had an enemy encounter, and when you went to an enemy encounter, then it did become like a 2D fighter. It was really kind of cool. It was a really good game. There was a sequel called The Broken Bond. I never got that, and both of those games actually held some value. So it's actually kind of expensive to get The Broken
Bond. I used to watch that series.
I read a few issues of like the manga, and I'm like, whatever, this is manga. I don't care.
I used to be super into it when I was 8.
Well, maybe you were like, what was that, like 2 years ago?
No.
No. Azam, you are a good sport. If nothing else, you are a good sport. I will give you that. But no, that game was not bad. If I ever see it for like 20 or less, I might actually pick it up. That is how much I enjoyed it. I might actually buy it. I played Ratchet & Clank Up Your Arsenal on my Vita, finally.
What?
God, that finally was able to link up?
Yes.
Up your arse. 6 months
later.
No, not up your arse. No, Zom's right. It was full frontal assault. Thank you, Zom. Nope, you're right. It was full frontal assault. The tower defense game that released in like November of last year for PS3 is supposed to be a cross buy. It took them until May to get it up, and it's actually clear to see why it does not run so well on the Vita. It has. Chris and I have talked about this before. Those sort of like washed out looking kind of graphics that PSP and Vita games sometimes have to adapt like these big budget games to like these smaller machines. So it's clear everyone's like, it's a PS3 in your pocket. Like, nope, it does have that kind of washed out look. And then it has frame rate issues on top of it. I don't think it has slowdown. I'm running into actual slowdown, but it's clear that the frame rate is not so hot. It's a consistent frame rate, but it's not consistently hot. So it's playable though, and I did play quite a bit of it, and it's actually a lot of fun. I think it's actually really suited well for the Vita. I just wish they did a better job of adapting it to that hardware. But it's like Ratchet and Clank. It's almost like Lox Quest in that for the DS, where you have a tower defense thing going on where you have to build structures and defend a point, but you're also running around the environment and you use different guns and you use your wrench and you level these things up like you would in a normal Ratchet and Clank game. So it's a lot of fun, and I think the retail game is only $20, and the cross-buy...
You get Deadlocked HD.
Do you still get that? Is that just like a limited
time
thing?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
No, it's not a limited time thing.
Okay, yep. So if you buy it at the store and you get the retail game, you get it on PS3, you get it on Vita, and you unlock Ratchet Deadlock HD, which you can play online and stuff like PS3.
I will talk about.
Oh, cool. All right, cool. Yeah, because I downloaded it.
You play the multiplayer?
I tried to download it, and I just don't have any room for it. I have, like, five...
No, games. Not for Full Frontal Assault.
No, not yet. I will.
That multiplayer is really fun.
I assume it is. I imagine it is.
It's basically a MOBA.
It's what? Yeah, you're right. It is a MOBA. Yeah, that's a good point. And I also played Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, which is awesome. It's so great. It's such a fantastic game. It's so good on the go. Play a level or two here, or play an hour, doesn't matter. It looks great on the 3DS. The 3D elements are terrific. It's been criticized for having a lower frame rate than the Wii version. But the thing is, the Wii version was a consistent 60. This is a consistent 30, which means, yes, it is technically lower, but it barely affects how it plays. I don't see it as a negative necessarily, considering how much of a console game is actually intact on the 3DS. So I don't find it to be problematic. I'm playing on Babby mode.
Yes, I was going to ask that.
Yep. It's still hard, though, because there's so much instant death. I forgot how much instant death things are in that game. Whether it's, you know, the minecarts or the rockets or the fucking tidal waves that knock you off the screen. There is so much instant death in that game. So, like, having an extra heart really doesn't help you that much in those instances. So, it's just a little boost to make it a bit easier, but it's still a fairly challenging game. And it's terrific, and I do definitely recommend it. But that's why I've been playing. Zom, you want to go next? You want to talk about Deadlocked?
Sure. Deadlocked HD is a game that came out 8 years ago. It's now in HD. It has low frame rate.
It does. It has frame rate problems.
Yeah. The thing with the Ratchet & Clank games is that on the PS2, they have to use the memory card in really weird ways to even run. So apparently these ports were really hard to port over. So that's why even like there's like bugs in this in Deadlocked HD and the collection. So
no kid, I did not know that they actually have to like store and spool data from the memory card in the PS2.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Weird.
Having a Zom on has paid off. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
But I mean, they're playable on the PS3. They're just not as good as the PS2.
Gotcha.
Like up your arsenal on the PS3, for example, when you teleport, you know those teleporters in the game where they would teleport you back to your ship?
Yes.
For a second, when you teleport, like, Ratchet's head is backwards, his head, like, on his back, and, like, you can see his...
What the heck?
You just get to see the actual teleportation technology in use.
The transporter.
I mean, the moments when Deadlock HD really, like, gets choppy... is when, like, you're on a grind rail and like all these enemies are attacking you. And there are also, like, these moments where, like, it's ridiculous. Like, you're in a really small arena. And there are these things called zombie robots. And there's just, like, hundreds of them on screen. So, That's Deadlock. Yeah. No one's playing multiplayer for that game.
That's unsurprising.
I got into a match. It was 2v2.
What's that?
How much? It was 2v2. How many players did the original game support?
I think it was 12.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So yeah, and I've been playing a PS1 classic called Klonoa. Not sure if you've heard of it.
I'm pretty sure we've heard of Klonoa.
We've talked a lot about Klonoa, actually.
It's a good game.
It is a good game, yeah.
And I've been playing a bunch of other stuff. I've been playing a new Call of Duty map pack. You guys hate Call of Duty, so we don't need to talk about that.
Thank you. It's very gracious of you.
I did play Fulfrong Assault a bit.
Did you play the multiplayer or on Vita?
PS3. I don't want the Vita. Oh,
okay.
The cool thing about Fulfrong Assault is that the maps are free. Every couple of months they release a new map.
Oh, wow, that's cool. I wonder if they're going to do that with the Vita version.
Then you have to install an update when you.
I did, yes. Is that what that was?
Yeah, those were the maps.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, the new map is cool. The thing with the multiplayer in that game, though, is that they don't give you much of a factor to, like, keep playing the game. I mean, if you play the game for 5-6 hours, you've probably had enough.
I see. So the maps aren't enough to keep you going?
No.
That's okay. I mean, it's a $20 game. If I get that many hours out of it and I enjoy myself, I'm okay with that.
And I also replayed the single player. So the single player is, like, really short. And I remember when the game came out, I was saying that the game is really perfect for the Vita. Because basically it's only, like, 5 levels. And each level is, like, 30 minutes. So
Yeah, each level's. That's okay. But I like it.
Literally, there are only 2 levels in the... Actually, 3 levels that are, like, the same. There's one level where they use twice, and the only difference is that it's snowy in one of them.
Those tricksy bastards.
Yeah, and one of them is a boss, so...
Alright. Well, that's...
I really like the references. Like, they have a bunch of throwbacks to the old PS2 games.
I will have to keep my eyes open for those.
Mm-hmm. Did you finish the PS2 games? All of them?
Yes. Well, no, yeah. I didn't play a lot of Deadlock. I own Deadlock, but I really haven't played it. But I did play the trilogy proper, yeah.
Now, you know, the thing that's weird about Deadlock HD is that it's only $10. So even if you have no interest in Full Frontal Assault, it's only $10 on PSN.
With the way you described the choppy frame rate, I don't know how many people were going to sell on this game, but yeah. But, I mean, $20 for Full Frontal Assault and Deadlock, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, and the HD collections, I think, is like $20 or like $15.
It's a good deal as well. You can get a lot of Ratchet and Clank for not a lot of money.
I love those.
Is there anything else you've been playing? We gotta move this along.
Yeah, actually, no, I'm done.
Okay, cool. Chris, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing Donkey Kong Country Returns, which we already talked about, so I'll skip that over. It's still fantastic. Still really, really digging it. I played some more Illusion of... What's that?
You playing baddie mode?
No, I am not playing in baddie mode. Although there are times when I wish I was, because this is definitely a tough game. You know, it's amazing that Retro made, you know, a platformer that outshines, like, games that are made by Nintendo proper, like the, you know, the new Super Mario Brothers games, when they made, you know, some of the classics on the NES and Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And Retro hadn't made a 2D platformer before that, so super impressive, but...
Oh, I forgot.
No, your time has passed.
I played the new Fast and Furious game.
That sounds terrible. No, we do. I'm sorry, Tom. We have to move on.
It is terrible.
Well said. The main thing I've been playing this week is I'm still playing Illusion of Gaia. You know, when I talked about it last week, I was enjoying it, but I felt it was kind of simple. You know, it's like Zelda, but, you know, you don't have as many abilities. There aren't, you know, a ton of items to find that you use throughout the game. I still think it's pretty simplistic, but it's definitely gotten more complex than it was. You know, there are special abilities you unlock as you progress. For instance, when you hold down the attack button, you can do this dash move to attack enemies, but also you can run into the wall and, like, find a hidden door or something like that. And there are also points where you can turn into another character. You can turn into this big, strong knight who is stronger, is bigger, and he has a longer reach, so you can attack enemies further away, and he also has a projectile attack. And there are points in some of the dungeon areas where you have to switch between them because you'll have to hit a switch that's far away. And you can't do that with, you know, your main character. Or you might have to run into a wall, which you can't do with the knight. So it's pretty interesting the way they've made the dungeons a little more complex in that way. And the dungeons themselves have gotten more complex, too. The area I'm in now is some kind of floating structure up in the sky. And you can walk both on the top surface and, like, the bottom surface. And it kind of works like the Dark World in A Link to the Past, where things you do on one side will affect the other side. Like, there are switches and blocks, kind of like you'd see in A Link to the Past, where you can hit a switch and they'll go down into the floor. But when they do that, they pop up on the other side. So you'll have to, you know, move between the two sides and switch between the two characters to progress forward, which is definitely more interesting than I thought it was before, so...
So do you have one character on each of the surfaces at the same time? Like, you, like both characters aren't together? You
have to go, you transform into the other character, so you're only one at a time.
All right, so then you have, like...
You basically jump off the edge and you'll appear on the other side.
Okay, so there's no, like, annoying backtracking to get...
No, there's none of that. I still think the game is pretty linear, which is probably the biggest issue with it, but... you know, I don't mind linear games, so it's not really bothering me much. I'm still really enjoying it. But that is mostly what I've been playing besides Donkey Kong, so if Seth wants to take it away.
Yeah, the only thing I've been playing this week is Chrono Trigger on Super Nintendo. Now, I played this game many years ago on PlayStation, and when I was playing it, my friend who had already beat the game was there.
Yeah.
My experience between the two games is so drastic. I remember hating this game when I played it on PlayStation. I remember just constant load times. I remember my friend just going, go here, go there, blah, 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 do this. And I just hated everything about that experience. I'm playing the game now. I'm playing it on Super Nintendo. So obviously there's no like load times every time I want to go in my damn menu or anything. And I'm playing it by myself. And it is just so much more enjoyable. Like, I'm actually, like, really, really damn impressed by this game now. Yeah, it is really good. I mean, it does a lot of interesting things, too, that I hadn't seen in RPGs, especially at the time. And it's like when you talk to somebody, just an NPC or something, like, you could leave their speech bubbles up as you, like, walk around. And if you walk far enough away, then, like, the speech bubble will go away. So you could actually still, like, move around while you're doing stuff or while you're talking to people. I like the battle system, how it takes place, like, on the map. It doesn't, like, transition to a battle screen or anything. Just enemies, like, just pop out of places or you could avoid them if you're good enough. Or, you know, they'll come down from trees. They'll swoop down from the sky. It's very dynamic.
I really like that. It really adds like a sense of place to it. It doesn't on a random grid screen or something like most RPGs do.
Yeah, no, it's very organic. Yeah, I think it just feels fairly natural to the system. And I really like the fusion attacks too, where you could just, you know, use people's abilities on their own, just like a fire attack or a spinning attack, or you can combine it and then do like a fire spinning attack and stuff like that. And like where you which enemy you attack depends on the radius of the attack. So if you attack like an enemy far on the right with this one attack, then obviously you're going to hit that one enemy. But if you attack like in the middle of the group, then you'll get all of them. I think who just sent a link?
Azam.
But no, I'm enjoying the game. I'm not too far. I'm in the like desolate future area right now, but it's a really good game. And I'm glad that it's the Buck Bumble theme. I'm glad I actually get to experience it in a way that, you know, is actually conducive to and enjoying.
So you didn't play the DS version?
I did not play the DS version, no.
Gotcha.
That's how I played it, and the DS version is definitely an enjoyable way to experience it, for the record. So.
And one that's far cheaper than buying a Super Nintendo cartridge.
Yeah, absolutely.
But which
Why are those cartridges so expensive?
There's a lot of them. I don't know what it is, because there's a ton of them on eBay. It's not like it's in short supply or anything.
But the same thing with Earthbound.
It's demand. It's just demand.
It's just demand.
Yeah.
It's gotta be. But
it's not even supply and demand. It's just fucking demand.
Isn't Chrono Trigger on the Wii U Virtual Console?
I think it is, yeah.
Is Chrono Trigger on the Virtual Console? I don't know.
I think it came out around the time Final Fantasy VI did. I think they both
So why is the cartridge still so expensive?
You think it's bringing
people
it down,
like us.
Yeah,
because people like us.
Same thing with the Ratchet and Clank thing. Going Commando was like $50, brand new. And when the collection came out, Going Commando like dropped $20.
That'll do it. All right. Well, do we have anything we'd like to add? Because we got to wrap this up.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. I'm done with this episode.
Here's the thing.
I'll be back after E3 now.
We'll see about that. But thanks for being on, Azam. It was good to have you.
My me being here is dedicated to Frank Ruiz.
You'd be Frank Ruiz. That's awesome.
Frank Ruiz.
That's. Nope, that's very classy, Azami. He's being nice to his attacker. I like it.
I'm painfully torturing him.
I want to thank everyone for listening, and until next time, you guys take it easy.